So now we're going to start, I'm going to open up because it's all related, so I'm just going to open up.
Absolutely.
On local law number two, I'm just going to read it and then I'll let you continue.
Thank you.
So local law number two is opting out of the onsite cannabis consumption sites in the village of Nassau as authorized under the cannabis law, article number four, being enacted by the board of trustees of the village of Nassau as follows. Lesson one, legislation intent. It is the intent of the local board to opt out of allowing onsite cannabis consumption sites in the village of Nassau that would otherwise be allowed under the cannabis law, article number four. Section two, authority. The local law is adopted pursuant to cannabis law, section 131, which expressly authorizes the village of Nassau board to adopt a local law requesting the cannabis control board to prohibit the establishment of a cannabis site, consumption site licenses within the jurisdiction of the village of Nassau and is subject to a permissive referendum, the procedure of which is governed by municipal home law, home rule law, section 24. Section three, local opt-out. The board of trustees of the village of Nassau hereby opts out of allowing on-site cannabis consumption sites from being established and operated within the jurisdiction of the village of Nassau. Severability, section four, in any clause, sentence, paragraph, subdivision, or part of this local law or application thereof to any person, firm, or corporation or circumstance shall be adjudicated by any court of competent jurisdiction to be invalidated or unconstitutional. Such order or judgment shall not affect, impair, or invalidate the remainder thereof, but shall be confined in its operation to the clause, sentence, paragraph, subdivision, or part of this local law or its application to person, individual, firm, or corporation or circumstance directly involved in the controversy in which such judgment or order shall be rendered. Section 5, permissive referendum, referendum on petition. This local law is subject to a referendum on petition in accordance with the cannabis law, section 131, and the procedure outlined in the municipal home rule law, section 24. Effective date, this law shall take effect immediately upon filing with the Office of New York State Secretary of State. All right, David, I will invite you to continue.
Thank you. All right, so regarding criminal justice and public safety, the criminalization of marijuana has not curbed marijuana use despite the commitment of significant law enforcement resources. Marijuana use has remained relatively stable nationally since 2002 with minor changes. So even imposing these laws, like I said earlier, is not going to do anything except aggravate the residents and have them upset with the board and this village. There's been no increase in violent crimes on property crime rates around medical marijuana dispensaries, so that takes away any issue of having something here thinking there's going to be an issue. 3 years after the legalization of regulated marijuana in Colorado, motor vehicle crash rates overall were not statistically different, although this evidence is still preliminary. So there's no additional crashes with areas that have dispensaries and sites where cannabis can be consumed. The marijuana industry is expanding. As more states develop a regulated marijuana market, the industry is growing substantially. More licenses are issued for dispensaries and more consumers exit from an unregulated market. Regulating marijuana will create jobs. Industry sources estimate that there are between 165,000 to 230,000 full and part-time workers in the United States marijuana industry. Marijuana regulation could generate long-term cost savings. Legalizing marijuana is anticipated to lead to a reduction in costs associated with illegal marijuana, including police time, court costs, prison costs, and administrative fees. Regulated marijuana generates tax revenue. For purposes of this impact assessment, the following analysis of potential tax revenues was conducted by the DOH and the Department of Taxation and Finance. Estimates of the size of the current illegal market for marijuana in New York State range from $1.74 billion to $3.5 billion annually, including sales to New York State residents and tourists. So that money could come back into the tax base. Market size, based on inputs and assumptions, purchase of illegal marijuana in New York State are estimated to be about 6.5 to 10.2 million ounces annually. At an average retail price of $270 an ounce, the market for marijuana is estimated to be approximately $1.7 billion, or at $340 an ounce, $3.5 billion. Potential state tax revenues are substantial. Based on this analysis, the estimate potential tax revenue in the first year with a price tag of $297 an ounce ranges from $248 million with a 7% tax rate, $340.6 million with a 15% tax rate. The estimated potential total tax revenue with a price of $374 goes way up to $493 million with a 7% tax rate to $677 million with a 15% tax rate. According to the Colorado Department of Revenue, Colorado has had this law in force the longest, so we use their statistics. According to the Department of Revenue, marijuana sales generated nearly $200 million in state revenue and license fees in 2016. Tax revenue from regulated marijuana can be used to support programs, initiatives in areas such as public health education, transportation, research, law enforcement, workforce development, and community reinvestment. Regulating marijuana enables public health officials to share messages regarding lower risk cannabis use guidelines to help reduce the potential harms of marijuana consumption. Legalization provides an opportunity to educate consumers on what their options are and encourages the use of products with lower doses of THC. Regulation of marijuana benefits public health by enabling government oversight of the production, testing, labeling, distribution, and sale. The creation of a regulated marijuana program would enable the New York State to better control licensing, ensure quality control, consumer protection, and set quantity restrictions. New York State would also be one of the largest regulated marijuana markets in the United States. As such, there's potential for substantial tax revenue in New York State, which could be used to help support programs, initiatives, in areas such as public health, again, transportation, research, law, and so on. Tax revenue can also support community reinvestment in healthcare and employment. So in 2014, marijuana created 14,200 jobs in Colorado. 2015, 18,005 jobs. Tax revenue usage for medical marijuana sales in Colorado, $40.9 million. Retail sales, $98.3 million, and excise tax at 15% of $71.9 million. The Attorney General, James, the Congress, they passed a bad cannabis banking bill, so you can, you know, do banking without any issues. The MRTA establishes three taxes on adult cannabis. First, there's a tax imposed on distributor based on a milligram. So edibles, concentrates, and cannabis flower. Second, there's a state excise tax imposed on the sale by a retailer to cannabis consumer at 9% of this product price. Third, there's a local excise tax imposed on the sale of cannabis products by a retailer to consumer at 4% of the product price. This tax is distributed to local governments based on where the retail dispensary is located. 25% of the tax revenue goes to the county, 75% goes to the cities, towns, or villages within the county as a proportion of cannabis tax sales. If a town and a village within the town both allow adult use sales, the revenue shall be distributed based upon a distribution agreement between the town and village. If no such agreement exists, then the revenue distribution between the town and village shall be divided evenly. All adult use cannabis taxes are deposited in the New York State Cannabis Revenue Fund. First, the Cannabis Revenue Fund will cover the cost of administering the cannabis programs, implementing the MRTA, including the OCN's operating costs, increasing drug recognition, training, and implementing incubators and workforce development for social and economic equity applicants. So there's three separate funds, 40% to the state lottery fund for education purposes, 40% to the community grant reinvestment fund, and 20% to drug treatment and public education fund. Money's going to good here. Okay, medical cannabis taxation and revenue. Under the MRTA, medical cannabis will continue to be subject to a 7% excise tax. The medical cannabis tax is charged against and paid by the registered organization and cannot be added as a separate charge or line item on any sales slip, invoice, or receipt of the price to the retail customer. 45% of the money shall be transferred to New York State Cannabis Revenue Fund. 22.5% of the money shall be transferred to the counties in New York State in which the medical cannabis was manufactured and allocated in proportion to the gross sales originating from medical cannabis manufactured in each such county. 22.5% of the money shall be transferred to the counties in New York State in which the medical cannabis was dispensed and allocated in proportion to the gross sales occurring in each county. 5% shall be transferred to the OASAS, which shall use that revenue for additional drug abuse prevention, counseling, and treatment, and 5% of the revenue shall be transferred to the Division of Criminal Justice. Okay, again, the money is all going to good use. This is already kind of went over this. So I just have a letter, you know, came from one of the residents who's been here his whole life, 51 years. Living in Nassau my whole life, I can remember all the businesses and activity on Albany Avenue, Route 20. That included Mr. Bailey's mobile station, the barber and beauty shops, the Grand Hotel that consisted of a bar and liquor store, sub shops, Delson's department store, and the Nassau Pharmacy. Walking through the village these days is a much different experience since most of the businesses have closed or relocated, resulting in the village losing jobs, revenue that could be utilized for new projects and improvements. For example, new sidewalks on Chatham Street. The buildings that once occupied these businesses remain empty, and the fact that many of the people associated have deserted our village over the last several years is a great concern. I hope the mayor and the village trustees acknowledge the issues addressed above and today, and recognize our strong commitment to our village by working with the business owners to restore businesses and interest to help revitalize our village of Nassau. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, David.
I got one more thing, health benefits. You guys all have it?
There was only one that come up, I think.
It was in my packet.
Oh, you got one?
We're missing.
No, we got it.
But real quick, I'm gonna touch on this medical marijuana book. And this, the foreword was written by Andrew Weil. All right, he was a doctor from Harvard. I was always intrigued by the health benefits of plants and herbs, an interest that led me to become a botany major at Harvard in the early 1960s, when recreational use of pot first appeared on campus. In an introductory course on economic botany, I learned that marijuana, or aka cannabis, has been used medicinally for thousands of years. In fact, since ancient times, it's been used to treat a myriad of conditions, including convulsions, insomnia, nausea, headaches, menstrual pain, and others. However, that all changed in the United States in the mid-20th century. Marijuana not only fell out of favor as a medical treatment, it was deemed dangerous and declared illegal. And the reason being that that happened is because of the shocking link between paper and hemp. So in 1916, agricultural scientists in America discovered it was possible to make paper from hemp. But back when President Hoover was in power in the 1930s, the owner of one of America's largest newspaper companies, William Hearst, invested in thousands upon thousands of acres of woodland in order to provide enough pulp for newspaper industry. Due to the size of his investment in timber, he tried to eradicate hemp as competition in the industry he sought to dominate. Again, big media putting out falsities, lying to people just like today. He formed an alliance with DuPont, a petrochemical company that also provided the means necessary to turn wood fibers into paper through a sulfur-based chemical process. After realizing the competitive opponent, hemp, opposed to his investment, Hearst began an influential newspaper campaign to dissuade America and Americans from supporting the hemp industry. He portrayed hemp as an extremely dangerous and malevolent drug, weaving his agenda into the news in a way that would appeal to racial fears of the time period. His newspaper had a massive domino effect and happened to be one of the main driving forces behind the illegalization of the growth of plants belonging to the cannabis family. While Hearst struck fear into the hearts of Americans to damage the hemp industry, his associates at the DuPont Corporation, big money, big corporation, were pressurizing the United States Congress to pass a bill that would impose sanctions on those who sell, acquire, and possess marijuana. Hemp, which looked similar, was then cast in bad light due to the stigma around the family at the time, essentially the wood pulp paper industry, and they succeeded due to being more profitable and having more money. The world may have been vastly different state to what it is now should the hemp paper industry have continued. And then there's a list of reasons why hemp is better than paper. They are better than wood for paper, which we won't get into. But back to the doctor. Again, marijuana has been used as a medicine for thousands of years throughout the world. But it was deemed dangerous because of the paper industry.
Well, thanks, David.
Cannabis and COVID. Cannabis is found to help COVID. Cannabis is found to help qualifying conditions such as arthritis, cancer, chemo-induced nausea and vomiting, chronic pain, dementia, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, inflammatory bowel disease, lost weight, loss of weight and appetite, multiple sclerosis, muscle spasm, post-traumatic stress disorder. Almost done. Dealing with dispensaries. It is essential that all medical marijuana patients find dependable dispensaries that have the cannabis products they need, as well as reliable sales staff. Dispensaries are considered indispensable. So indispensable that during the COVID pandemic, they were, like pharmacies, considered as essential services.
Right.
Location, location. Convenience is a major consideration for many people. So having a dispensary close to home in Nassau can work as a big plus. Traveling many miles to get marijuana can be time consuming. Put a dent on your budget. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I do have one more. I got one more email here. This is from Angela Summers, Malden Street. Thank you for accepting this email for tonight's meeting. I want to go on record as saying I am in support of dispensaries here in the Village of Nassau. Thank you for your time. Angela Summers, Nassau resident. Does anyone else want to speak on the lounge portion of the law? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Take the motion.
Motion by Charlie, get a second.
Second.
Second by Julia. Questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.